Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Two of four recent current events that I wanted to bring your attention to that have, you know, having regards to the coming one world religion and the one world government that are spoken of in the book of Revelation and throughout other parts of prophetic scripture. These events have a lot to do with the ecumenism and interfaith movements that we see that are exponentially growing and expanding throughout our world these days. And we've so far looked at the Parliament of World Religions for several of the podcasts, and most recently we have been looking at the Pope's visit to the United Arab Emirates. This is the second event that of the four that I have wanted, current event that I have wanted to bring to your attention. They signed a document on the human brotherhood, of course, assuming that all people are brothers and sisters under the fatherhood of God, which of course is unbiblical, it is untruthful and misleading, and of course is directly out of the Antichrist, out of Satan's playbook, that he would want us all believe that we're all part of the family of God. Yeah, you don't need Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ, nah, you know, why would you need for him to die for you and receive him and his pardon, you know, be pardoned by God, you know, through the work that Jesus did for you, when you can work your way to heaven because you're a good, you know, already member of the family of God, but you just have to do enough work through all the various false religions to get to heaven. So anyway, I came up with a name for my series. I'm a little slow to the game here with a title. I originally didn't know that I would need a title or whatever, but hey, it's good to have a title for your series, I guess. And so basically, this is part of the topic, the series, One World Religion, One World Government, One World in Deception. And so we've been looking at the One World Religion and two of the current events. There have been many, of course, many building blocks, I call it, that are part of the process of bringing forth the One World Religion, Mystery Babylon, the Great Harlot of Revelation chapter 17. But we've been looking at some of the articles of the Pope's visit with the Grand Imam in the United Arab Emirates. And I've mentioned, of course, the interesting views of the Jordanian and the Arabian kings and their view of wanting to be more tolerant and wanting to, you know, break bread, so to speak, with the other religions of the world. And even with the Parliament of World Religions, the Jordanian king that I quoted from in the past, the Wall Street Journal that I quoted about the Saudi Arabian royalty, and now this event. So wild times that we're living in, unprecedented things going on, and I'm amazed sometimes at how many Christians don't have a clue and how unpopular Bible prophecy is at such a time as this. It just amazes me, and I'm thankful for those of you that listen in. You know, if you listen to our programming on Rapture Ready Radio, you'll have a lot of information coming to you concerning Bible prophecy, false religions, false cults, apostasy, all the different things that are exponentially flying at you here in these last days. And I guess it would be appropriate at this time to once again mention that I would love and I would covet your prayers. I just appreciate prayer. I know some of you are prayer warriors. And, you know, just if you think about me, if the Lord brings me to mind, I would really appreciate your prayers. This is a very fulfilling ministry, and I'm thankful for the platform God has given to me. But it is a real battle, and it gets a little tough sometimes. So thank God. Jesus has already won, he's overcome, but we still have a lot of battles that we have to fight. So I would appreciate all of your prayers, and I covet them very much. Now I would like to move to really the last couple of articles concerning this recent event of the Pope visiting the Grand Imam, and this one from Lighthouse Trails. They actually got the article from Technocracy News, and I'm only reading a few snippets. It's a longer article that you can get from their website. But anyway, the title is One World Religion. Pope Francis Signs Historic Covenant with Islam. February 11th, 2019, by Michael Snyder of Technocracy News. A historic interfaith covenant was signed in the Middle East on Monday, and the mainstream media in the United States has been almost entirely silent about it. Sheikh Ahmed Al I don't have his name, I'm sorry. The article seems to be cut off there, I'm sorry. Anyway, I hadn't meant to read all that. But anyway, I have been speaking about the Sheikh in the last articles. And so anyway, I'm looking if I can... The Grand Imam of Al-Hazar was the man he met. And so this other Sheikh... individual, we will have to pass on his last name. Forgive me for missing that. According to a British news source, the signing of this covenant was done in front of a global audience of religious leaders from Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and other faiths. I mentioned that last week. In other words, there was a concerted effort to make sure that all of the religions in the world were represented at this gathering, according to the, which makes it all the more interesting that I have been commenting on the Parliament of World Religions and their, of course, desires to bring this inclusive, all-inclusive, false religious movement together. You know, that would include everybody except for biblical Christians. You know, according to the official Vatican website, a tremendous amount of preparation went into the drafting of this document. And it encourages believers from all religions to shake hands, embrace one another, kiss one another, and even pray with one another. Well, that's not the first time that's happened with the Catholic Church and popes in the past, but it is apparently the first time there's been this historic covenant paper signed. And of course, I'm speaking of Assisi, Italy, where I visited, not while the event was taking place, but it was this worldwide, you know, Pope John Paul had done with. You know, worldwide prayer for peace with all the pagan religions, etc. So there's always been this outreaching and this interfaith movement since the mid-20th century, as I understand it, towards the interfaith ideas of let's all get together and can't we get along with these false religions and pray together and everything else. But this is a document, very significant, that most recently this pope, who, you know, is... one of the creepiest popes of all, I suppose. Some people think he may be the false prophet. I have no way of knowing. But you have to wonder about his not only his false religious views, but his politics, everything. Boy, he's the package, really, isn't he? But now, let me move to another article from the Study, Grow, and Know website. And this author never has his name, so I can't give you his name, but I really like a lot of the things he writes. And in this particular article from February 13th, he has an article entitled Ushering in a One World Religion. And here's what we read. I have to say it's a bit off-putting that so many within Christendom seem so unconcerned about the massive push by many of today's religious leaders toward a one-world religious system. That's sort of like what I was just saying. You know, I don't understand how so many Christians, they don't get it. They don't have a clue. They don't understand. I understand there's a lot of biblical illiteracy and lack of discernment, and that's why I'm thankful for my little, you know, whatever little I can do to help people have more discernment in these deception in these last days. But it is off-putting, is one way of putting it. So many of today's religious leaders are unconcerned. So many Christians are unconcerned. But of course, you notice he used the term Christendom, and everybody that's in Christendom is not necessarily born-again Christian. Maybe they're just Christian dumb. I don't know. Which reminds me of a quote. I got to throw this little joke in. I don't know if you'll appreciate my humor on this point, but I remember a pastor saying, do you know what the world's largest Christian denomination is? No. Well, it's the Ignorant Brethren. And, you know, I just love that. You know, Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. So let's don't be ignorant, brethren. Let's be biblically literate. Let's understand Scripture. Let's be discerning. Let's be aware of the signs of the times. Let's be aware of the building blocks that are being put in place towards a one-world religion, a one-world government. And let's get the word out to people. And let's do what Christ said. Finish the great commission of the gospel, spreading the gospel. and seeking to reach people and bring them out from out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into salvation, and warning those people who are naive or who really don't know the word, who don't, you know, don't test all things by Scripture like we're exhorted to by Paul in the book of Thessalonians. So in the article he goes on to say, there are so many who deny what is occurring right in front of our noses. I find that. You know, I teach a Sunday school class, and I know I have some people that are very interested in what I share about so many of the things. I've been talking a lot about the New Age movement or the new spirituality. But I know there's, I really believe there's some folks in there, they don't see what's happening right in front of their noses. And I'm thinking, gosh, just do your homework. Just check out the resources, you know. Read a book, you know, read the Bible. How about that? There's a book you ought to read. Anyway, the only thing that can be done is that we continue to highlight and discuss the things that are happening in society and continue to disclose what the Bible says about living in the end times of the last days. Either people will wake up to the facts or they will continue in their denial, and that's a big part of it, isn't it? I think it's just, it's an inconvenient truth. You'd rather be in denial, you know, be like the ostrich, stick your head in the ground, maybe it'll all go away, you know. Hey, I got a life to live, I want to raise my kids and my grandkids, and don't tell me all that stuff. As though those of us that are speaking and warning about these things, as though we are somehow causing, you know, these birth pangs, these things that are taking place, this scary world that we're in, you know. And by the way, you know, the Bible tells us, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. We could be tempted to be anxious and fearful, but God says, don't go there. If you belong to me, I'm going to take care of you. I'm your great physician. I'm the great shepherd, good shepherd. And so, you know, I don't say these things to freak anybody out, to scare anybody. I mean, if you're unsaved, I hope you get scared enough to get saved, maybe. But, you know, I say these things as because it's exciting that God would let us know in advance, warn us in His Word, and then as we see the highlights of current events in the newspaper and the different things in the news, we can say, oh my gosh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, tell everybody you know, man, Jesus is coming soon. Get ready. I've been a Christian since 1973. I was saved in the Jesus movement, and I thought Jesus was coming any second. Okay, He didn't, but we're so much closer to His return now than then. And it's just amazing. I'm amazed we are still here. And I don't know when the Lord's coming. But we need to let people know that He is coming and that this world is going to continue to grow much, much darker before He returns. That's the outline of what Scripture really prepares us for, you know. But we don't need to fear or despair. We need to look for the imminent return of Jesus Christ, that He could come and take us at any time. That's the blessed hope of the gospel, my friends. So keep looking up and keep holding your hands out to others and offer them the hand to come with you. You know, hey, come on, man, join. Get on the bus before it's too late. Get on the Bible bus, you know, as J. Vernon McGee called his bus. Okay, with respect to the end times, last days, Jesus, Paul, John, Peter, and others point out to us what we can know and understand. Further in his article, he says, so it is with the subject of the end times or last days. There has been this growing movement to look at anyone who chooses to understand God's word literally as heretics. Anyone who believes in the literal physical return of Jesus is often laughed at today. We are told that Jesus is reigning now. Of course He is, but Scripture points to the time when Jesus will physically return to this earth. He's reigning at the right hand of the Father right now, but He's going to come physically and return to this earth and will visibly rule over this entire planet in a final kingdom prior to God creating new heavens and a new earth. To allegorize these truths away is tantamount to changing the very words of God, and frankly, I think the heretics are the ones who end up with that interpretation, this allegoric type interpretation of last days, last things. One of the things the Bible teaches is that as we draw near to the end of man's history, leading up to the point of time when Jesus will physically return, there will be this huge push within society to bring all major religions together in one specific form. We've looked at that, the Parliament of World Religions. We've been looking at that with the Pope. But anyway, he'll go on with that. We see very clear teachings about this in God's Word. For instance, in the book of Revelation, we learn the false prophet. In Revelation, we learn of the false prophet in Revelation 13. It is interesting to see this individual, whoever he turns out to be, directing attention and worship to the beast or the Antichrist. The Bible teaches that at some point all man-made religions will culminate in the worship of one human being, namely the Antichrist. The false prophet will be on hand to ensure that this occurs. Anyone who doesn't fall in line will be executed. It is that clear and that simple. Multitudes will become martyrs during the upcoming time known as the tribulation, the Great Tribulation, lasting 7 years. Instead of simply believing the plain and ordinary sense of Scripture or literal Scripture, too many leaders within Christendom prefer to put a different spin on things. They want us to believe that the world will progressively get better and better until global society reaches that perfect point when Christ will be able to return, either physically or in spirit, and will rule over mankind at that point. This will happen, they say, as more Christians come together to take back the world and bring God into society. In other words, their view is that Jesus cannot return until society arrives to a certain point. The longer it takes society to come together for this purpose, the longer it will be before Jesus can return physically or spiritually. You know, that's liberalism. That's progressives. That's the emerging church, the emergence, you know. That's also the New Apostolic Reformation. They both have this view that we're going to, they don't believe the same exactly way on other things, but they do believe that we've got to build this kingdom. Christ doesn't need our help to build this kingdom. Christ just wants us to testify that he is the Savior. And go and get that Great Commission out to everyone, you know. Get the word out that he's going to come, he's going to return, and he's going to set up that kingdom. The Bible tells me that Jesus will return solely when that particular time is reached, set by the Father. It is not dependent upon man or woman, individuals or groups. It all has to do with God's timing and his alone. Recently, something came to light that shows us how this one world religion that will ultimately lead to the appearance of the Antichrist could very well happen. This is the second event that I wanted to share with you, the second current event. It involves the Roman Catholic Pope. Just a few days ago, and this was February 3rd through the 5th, a newly signed document was released by the world to the world by the Pope. It's called A Document on Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together. That's the longer title than what I read earlier. The gist of it is to call all people of the world to unite in one faith, regardless of religious persuasion or not, to worship God, quote-unquote, whatever the person conceives God to be, for truth and justice to exist throughout global society. In essence, it is a social justice warrior's dream come true. But is it biblical? And look at this Pope. If ever there was a social justice, social gospel, plus Catholic gospel Pope, it's this guy. So the article goes on. What is most disconcerting here is the fact that this document came together when the Pope traveled outside the Vatican to meet the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar in Abu Ghabi. The Grand Imam, of course, is a Muslim of the Islamic religion. We know this religion is a counterfeit to Christianity and even Judaism, yet the Pope, who claims to be a Christian and is seen as the highest leader under God on earth for all Roman Catholics, has deliberately met with this leader of Islam in order to create a document that calls for unity of faith. The Pope is calling for nothing less than what the New Age movement has been teaching for generations. This push toward a one-world religious system results in a movement away from true God as away from the true God as people draw closer together in harmony. That harmony is based solely on feelings, not biblical truth or reality. In order to unite Muslims, Catholics, Protestants, and even secular atheists or New Age aficionados, actual Bible doctrine must be set aside. While people can recognize that they might have differences of theological thought and opinion with others, we are told this should not stop all from joining hands with people of differing faiths in order to achieve the same worthwhile goal, planetary unity resulting in human harmony. That's the goal, and to think that this is not happening or that it is not the antithesis of what is taught in Scripture is ridiculously naive. It's well said. The Pope and the Grand Imam envision a world built on harmony and peace. In essence, though, they are doing the same thing Nimrod tried with the Tower of Babylon. At that time, Genesis 10 through 11, Nimrod was the acclaimed and recognized leader of all humanity. Everyone got behind what Nimrod was attempting to create. You know, and that was a tower that would reach to the heavens. The spiritual Tower of Babylon is being rebuilt again, this time by religious leaders throughout the world. The Pope has determined that in spite of any theological differences, he can join hands with the Grand Imam from Islam. They and others work together to create a document that has its as its outcome a great similarity with the first Babel or Babel. However, there will be one huge difference between the first Babel of Genesis 11 and the one that's being built now. Unlike the first Babel, God himself will not come down. Instead, it will be the Antichrist who appears on the scene, and unfortunately for this world, he will be accepted by most as the living God. Here's one of the main goals of, one of the main goals of the HFD, the one God to whom we submit our lives, once all, Christian and Muslim, to reject arrogance and to come together before him, to come before him together so that God can govern our societies according to his will. This is an arrogant lie. God is already in control. He never abdicated his authority and fully controls what happens here and throughout creation. In order, you know, it reminds me of what happened when Saul was rejected as king by God and David was anointed to be the king. God had already anointed David to be the king. Saul was no longer the king in God's eyes, but Saul refused to give it up, and he kept clinging to his power, even though his days were numbered. And that's like the devil. You know, the devil is clinging to his power, and he's going to manifest for a short reign as the Antichrist, but his days are numbered, folks. So, you know, don't back a loser. Serve your Lord, you know, be vigilant, be out there for God. And get the gospel out. This is an arrogant lie. Okay. My point was that he never abdicated his authority, and he fully controls what happens here and throughout creation. Now, Satan is the god of this world, the Bible says, because he temporarily rules this fallen world. And the children of the devil, so to speak, all those who've not been reborn in Christ, you know, follow him. So it certainly doesn't appear that God is in control sometimes, but he is. And, you know, it's just a matter of time. And that's why we, Christ's soldiers, that's what we are. We're his soldiers here. We're sojourners. We're here to do a job, and then he'll take us home. This is not our home, right? But anyway, it says, in order to reject arrogance, the meaning is that we should ignore doctrinal differences and fellowship with those who hold to aberrant teachings. Aberrant meaning, you know, false teachings. Do Muslims worship God in Christ? No. While they say that Jesus is an apostle of God, he is not God according to them. In fact, they even say he's a prophet of God. But he's not God according to them. Now, while they say that, yet the Bible teaches repeatedly that Jesus is God, very God. He is the second person of the Trinity. Even Roman Catholicism teaches this. Yet this particular pope wants Christians to ignore the theological and doctrinal differences in order to engender peace and harmony. Kumbaya and all that, you know. And then he makes reference to the harmonic convergence years ago among New Agers that were trying to come together. And, of course, I'll be talking about the New Age movement further along in my series concerning an event that happened recently out in the LA area where I lived for 20 years. And so I will be talking about that, further on in the series. But to finish out today, I want to go back to the Parliament of World Religions, the event that happened recently, the last few months, to their website, to a article which is going to be kind of a segue article to the next point of my outline concerning, you know, one world government, and a third event that I want to report on, which will be, of course, for next week's podcast. I have a little extra time this week, it appears, but that's okay. I will wait before I begin on that third point and we get into the world one world government. But I want to make the segue now and mention the Parliament of World's Religions. Of course, their main influence and their main drive here is wanting to combine all the religions, just as the Pope is trying to do. So very, very relevant events taking place here. But anyway, on their website, they have an article, and it's the United Nations Task Force. Well, even though they're mostly involved with trying to help form the One World Religion and their cooperation with the United Nations, I would say, of course, the United Nations are an organization that will or will probably no doubt continue to be used to help bring about world government. And so this Parliament of World Religions likes to work hand in hand with the United Nations. And here in this article, it talks about the UN Task Force. It says, UN event, interfaith communities with multilateralism inherent in their structural and operational mechanisms. The Parliament of the World's Religions is proud to be an active affiliated NGO, and that term actually means non-government organization. So they're proud to be an active affiliated NGO to the United Nations Department of Public Information, or UN-DPI. Living into its mission to engage guiding institutions around the world, the Parliament of the World's Religions activates an annual United Nations Task Force to facilitate participation along several annual activities at United Nations to align the efforts of the Parliament of the World's Religions to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and advocate for interfaith perspectives and actions with World Interfaith Harmony Week, the Commission on the Status of Women, United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, the UN-DPI Annual Conference, and more. You notice that term, Sustainable Development Goals. That's all about, you know, dealing with healing Mother Earth and dealing with climate control and global warming and all this stuff that they're afraid of, and it's part of their environmental Armageddon. Since they reject God's truth of the true judgments that are coming and the true Armageddon and the true birth pangs that Christ spoke of before he returned in the judgments of the book of Revelation. Now, the PWR, excuse me, Parliament of World Religions United Nations Task Force, regularly partners with a wide range of interfaith, faith-based, and advocacy-focused NGOs to facilitate parallel and side events to annual United Nations activities, working closely with the Committee of Religious NGOs or non-government organizations. Okay, well, this is a good place to close, and then next week's podcast, we will look at point three of my outline. We'll start looking at the One World Government and a recent event that's helping to contribute to that.